Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day today. I want to just let you guys know and remind you the product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple Capsules, is on sale as product of the week since last Wednesday. Today is the last day it will be on sale. That is probably one of our best products we have as far as a staple starter supplement, and just for anybody that's wanting to have an overall high dose of vitamin mineral balance in their body. Just want to let everybody know that. And other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Blessed, beautiful day here, 73 degrees, partly cloudy sky, a little hazy, a few chemtrails here and there, but that doesn't matter. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice, and I shall be glad in it. By the way, let's start on the social credit system right now, what's going on with China. Social credit system is basically turning all of China into a virtual prison. Chinese people who have low social credit score are harassed and ostracized through warnings about them on their cell phone ringtones. Their cell phone. I'm getting a phone call now. I'm going to be harassed by my cell phone now, which everyone can hear. It's out loud. It's on a speakerphone. They are subject to air travel bans. They're excluded from well-paying jobs. They're barred from owning a car or a home, and they're publicly identified as a deadbeat map on a deadbeat map. So this guy's a deadbeat. Their social credit system is slated to go nationwide in 2020. The effect will be a culture of fear and a nation of informants, because individuals can earn positive points by snitching. We sound like Nazi Germany in Stalin world here. The Chinese Communist Party has given birth to the world's first high-tech digital dictatorship, and now it's selling its system to other like-minded socialist dictatorships. Venezuela, by the way, was its first customer. I just thought I'd mention that. The next story from G. Edward Griffin says, who cares about a silly old constitution anyway? Michael Rhetoric does, and when you hear what he has to say, the constitution of any government is not just a piece of paper. The words written on that piece of paper and the rules that that government required to obey, if governments become too big and too powerful, that means they have broken the rules and they're no longer obeying the constitution. If no one cares about knowing what the rules are, you can be sure the politicians and the bureaucrats will have a field day. And I'm going to add one thing to that. They will also change the rules to allow themselves to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, at no fines and no discourse. In other words, if they don't want to do Obamacare, they don't have to do Obamacare. They don't have a mandatory fine they're going to have if they don't have Obamacare. Congress gets free dental, free everything for the rest of their lives. They go in for one term and they get a retirement for the rest of their lives, like $175,000 a year, and they just voted it. Nobody would have voted for that. There's not one person that I know who's a true-blooded American who would say the congressional leaders get $175,000 retirement regardless of how many terms they serve, even after 2 years, and all free health care for the rest of their lives. That is nuts. Nobody gets that, but of course they vote that for themselves. By the way, New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio says no bail program will release teens from jail even for violent crimes. Democratic New York City Communist Bill Blasio expanded the supervised release program that is set to triple the number of teens that will be released from the city jails without paying bail as they wait trial. This includes teens charged with violent crimes, such as armed robbery in their no-gun zone, which I thought I'd mention, or assault with a deadly weapon, which was, again, in their no-gun zone. It is certain that releasing your criminals without bail will cause an increase in crime. De Blasio's new policies went into effect on June the 1st, and, of course, he's a complete and total socialist, communist, and an absolute lowlife. Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper was booed by Democrats for saying that socialism is not the answer. Wow. He's a 2020 presidential candidate who was booed at the annual California Democratic Convention for saying that socialism is not the answer, which means they want communism. They want to have free stuff for everybody, and the rich will pay. So nobody will be rich. There'll be no money to pay. Everybody lives like they do in Venezuela and totally broke and can't feed themselves. Additionally, he said, we shouldn't try to achieve health universal coverage by removing private insurance from 150 million Americans. And then he declared, we shouldn't try to tackle climate change by guaranteeing every American a government job, which resulted in further booing from the crowd. So everybody gets a government job. The government produces no revenue whatsoever. They only tax people who are producing revenue. But when no one's producing revenue any longer, Austin, and all they're doing is working for the government, where does the tax revenue come from? Oh, that's right. We basically forced the people into tenant slavery to work on farms and factories, just like they did in the Soviet Union, to the point where everything completely collapses internally from a lack of incentive, and everybody figures they're going to get a free meal anyhow from everybody else, and pretty soon there are no more free meals to be had, and everybody starves. What an interesting world we live in. Austin, what are you thinking? What's your first story, bud?
Well, that's exactly how the tyrannical governments have operated in the past, so why not this one, since we've reached that now? I mean, your windows are too dark on your car. You get fined and have to pay the government. You want to add an addition onto your home. You get fined and pay the government. You want to own a vehicle. You get fined and own a government. You want to go fishing. You get fined and owe the government. You go fishing and without a license and get caught. You get fined even more and owe the government. You win the lottery. You owe the government. When you die, you own the government. If you own property, you owe the government. Even when you own your own property, you still have to pay the government every year just to continue owning your property. You want to give something to somebody, you owe the government. You sell something, you buy something, you pay an employee, you owe the government. You get paid, you owe the government. This is something that we have seen in always, repeatedly, throughout time, throughout history. When government becomes too large, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what we begin to see. When they have to find anything and everything they can to tax the American population about. I've repeatedly told you guys, if you know your history, after the Revolutionary War, there was what was referred to as the Whiskey Rebellion that George Washington actually had to squash. That was here in the United States. It was right after the Revolutionary War when the United States government said they were going to start taxing the liquors and spirits. It was like a 1% tax on liquor. And so they did that because they were trying to raise revenue to pay for a lot of the repairs after the Revolutionary War. And it turned into a giant boondoggle. It ended up almost starting a second Revolutionary War. Actually, it would have been a first Civil War, because a huge swath of the states, including Pennsylvania and Virginia, said, absolutely not. We're not going to pay a 1% tax on any of our liquor. You guys want a war. We just got out of another war. Our powder's still dry. Come and tax us on our liquor. And it ended up escalating quite severely, to the point that George Washington personally had to march, I think it was like a 28 or 30,000 man militia army all the way into Pennsylvania to get these guys to calm down, because they had a huge shootout with a bunch of tax collectors. Multiple people got killed. It was a huge issue, and it was a 1% tax on liquor. That was it, called the Whiskey Rebellion. That is how strong the American population felt about unjust and unfair taxes. And then you fast forward now to 2019, and as I just gave you a laundry list, and I could add 500 more things you get taxed on. That is what happens. And so this is what we have found ourselves now in this country, and it's a very precarious situation, because, you know, what do we do about it? Because they have now made so many laws and put so many laws on the books, and like that said, I understand roads cost money. Don't have a bit of problem subsidizing that. Roadways, sewage, electric, there's things that cost money. There's certain utilities. There's certain things that we use on a daily basis that cost money, and I don't have a bit of subsidizing those. The problem is that we have seen every time, as soon as you allow them to start encroaching more and more and more and have no oversight on any type of budget revenue, they go in and they find more things to tax and more things to tax and more things to tax and more things to tax. And then the problem is, then you start seeing that the things you've been paying for, paying a lot of money for in taxes, like the roadways and the infrastructure, are not adequate. They're not well maintained, and they're not taken care enough, because the government isn't bringing in enough revenue still, because so many people are on the docket. This is what happens with the pension programs. This is what happens all the time in government, and it's a very sad place. That's why it was such a joke when Obama continually tried to keep claiming that he was increasing jobs, and he started looking at the jobs, and he'd increase, you know, 50 new pencil pushers in an office space for a federal job, and he'd increase 500 new shovel ditch digger holders. So it wasn't people that actually dug ditches, it was people that stood there and, you know, held a shovel while five other people were working. So he increased all these jobs and did absolutely nothing, produced nothing, made nothing, built nothing. Always understand, the government doesn't build anything that you have not supplied the income for. They don't generate any revenue. That's the lot. People have a hard time understanding that. They don't make any money. They take money. That's the only thing they can do. They don't make anything. They continually do things with your money, and it's a concept that everybody has to understand. Also, too, Dad, you're talking about China a second. I want to go back to this real quick. As the social credit score continues to grow like an ever-growing cancer in China, Chinese social media sites have been placed on lockdown now, yesterday, because of the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. While Beijing already employs highly restrictive controls on the internet, China censors typically intensify their efforts ahead of the June 4th anniversary of the bloody student protest in 1989. They've gone in now and pretty much banned and blocked anybody who has even made comments or referenced it. They're trying to blot out the memory of the Tiananmen Square massacre from the history of the Chinese books. And a lot of people go, what is that? What is the Tiananmen Square massacre? What are you talking about here? In mainland China in 1989, it was only 30 years ago, there was a large amount of students that led a demonstration in Beijing that was essentially trying to bring in what they called the democracy movement. It was designed to bring in essentially a fair government in China, which obviously it didn't work. Protests were forcibly suppressed after the government declared martial law in Beijing, and then what happened was the Tiananmen Square massacre, military troops descended on the protesters. Remember, these protesters, most of them, some of them they said had bottle rockets or pipes or rocks. That was it. There were no protesters that were rolling around with belt-fed machine guns. However, the military in China, in Beijing in 1989, had orders to suppress all dissidents, and they came in with belt-fed light machine guns and magazine-fed machine guns, armored personnel carriers, and tanks, and opened fire on the entire square that resulted, they said, an estimate of 2,600 deaths with additional thousands wounded. The full numbers have never been released because China suppressed it as soon as it happened. Thousands of Chinese citizens were gunned down in the middle of the square by the Chinese military. And at that point, after that, the Chinese government pushed out 300,000 military troops in Beijing. 300,000 full-blown takeover of China with the Chinese military. That is what they do not want talked about on social media in China right now. So they've done a full media blackout in China. Anybody that even references, anybody that even implies anything about the Square Massacre in 1989 is completely blocked, banned, and their social credit score goes through the floor. They've done this every year since this has happened, except now the social credit score has made it even more effective because people are terrified to even speak out about what happened in 1989 because their credit score will plummet by the day as soon as they do so. That is what happens when you have a communist government, and that is what happens when it completely grows out of control. And that is what we're trying to prevent here in the United States. So this is what we see in China now. And on top of that, we've seen this in Congress for the last couple of months now, and I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. But, of course, Bubble Boy Rubio and a bunch of other clowns in the Senate and Congress have now supported this. The mental health assessment program, which essentially was already implemented 2 years ago. In Texas, for example, police use the mental health assessment program to screen every person that's been arrested for mental illness. Well, a bill that was pushed by Congress, the TAPS Act, T-A-P-S, first introduced in January, would take law enforcement screening to a whole new level and create a national threat assessment of children and adults in the United States. In the course of 6 months, the TAPS Act, which is H.R. 838, you can look it up, his support has grown to nearly 80 Congress members. Now, as you guys know, politicians are pretty much master manipulators. They lie all the time. That's essentially what they do. If their mouths are talking, they're usually lying. And what better way to garner public support for this bill now than to do it during National Police Week? They go on to say in one of the statements, the politicians are going, we are working on this to protect our communities and schools from the terrible acts of violence that we've seen with the new TAPS Act. Now, taken at face value, when you hear about some of this stuff, the TAPS Act sounds like a notable attempt to stop school shootings. But it's not what it seems. The TAPS Act will allow law enforcement to give everyone a personal threat assessment, kids and adults, and single out those they deem as a future threat. Does this kind of even sound like China now? By bringing, this is what it states in here, by bringing threat assessment experts together, and utilizing evidence-based behavioral threat assessment and management processes. We will bolster public safety by implementing strategies to identify and stop dangerous individuals before they can commit a crime. We have the expertise to combat the targeted violence plaguing our schools, places of worship, and public squares, but we have yet to fully implement it to prevent attacks. The TAPS Act has all the earmarks of a paranoid police state, exactly to the T, that considers everyone a potential threat. It will create, and I quote, a joint behavioral threat assessment and task force to identify individuals that exhibit patterns of dangerous behavior that may precede an act of violence. According to Senators Mark Rubio, Kristen Cernan, and Tom Tillis, the TAP Act will create a national behavior threat assessment and management process for everyone, and these senators commend it, and they want it to go in place. Add this in with the red flag gun laws that have already been implemented in 16 states. You now have full domination over the population. This is the minority report. This is pre-crime arrest. This is the meat grinding of due process. This is a tyrannical government, folks. If the TAPS Act goes into place now, if they actually get enough support to pass this, I highly doubt Trump would ever sign something this egregious, quite frankly. Even I don't think he would do this. But if they word it correctly enough and they get enough bipartisan support, which they probably will, because of how much dirt they have in Congress, this will be one of the probably worst single-handed bills since the inception of the Patriot Act in 2001 that will literally allow law enforcement carte blanche immunity to build assessment profiles on every single person in the United States. And then, if they predict that that person is going to commit a crime, before they do it, they have the ability to arrest them or Baker Act them, which again, like I said, that ties right into the red flag gun law to arrest you. This will essentially be used for the detention camp process that I think Dave Hodges has talked about so many times. This would be the way they would implement it if they got this to go through. So that's why I brought this up. As you see what's happened in China now, they suppress any dissidents and stop anybody being able to speak the truth. Now we see the United States is following the same line, the giant communist globalist agenda to take over the world and put it under a one world order government. That is the goal. Just thought I would bring some of that stuff up. So we have to figure out what we can do to prevent this from getting passed. We have to be as vocal as we can and put as much pressure as we can on our Congress and Senate not to allow this to go into place, because it's worded. If you read parts of it, especially like the titles, it's worded all fancy. It's for the kids, you know? It's for our protection, you know? It's for our safety, you know? It's for the kids' protection. You don't want your kids to be scared, do you? No, nobody wants their kids to be scared. Let's pass this bill. It's always how they do it. Lies, deceit, and manipulation, Dad.
Okay, we got to back up. We got to go. We got to zing back about 150 years, 170 years. We got to go back to Karl Marx. We got to go back to the Communist Manifesto. We've got to go back to the Kabbalah, which is basically communism based on the Kabbalah. And we've got to go back to the beginning when basically Marx and Engels wrote this mess. This stuff was all about bringing in a third temple. It was all at the same time they were trying to bring in the Palestinian, to take the Palestinian land away. It all started promoting Zionism 150, 170, 180 years ago. It all started here. It built itself up as far as a resurrection in Russia. And because of what Russia did, Russia was very, if you read Topper Saucy, The Rulers of Evil, read that book. It's free online. Topper Saucy, The Rulers of Evil. The Russian government, the Tsar and the family and the royal family, they were very, very, very kind to these Kabbalists, and they let them into a lot of social areas, a lot of political areas. They let them into the government infrastructure. And they were just very open with them. And then they basically took control, just like they've done now. You have Jared Kushner, who's a Kabbalist, who's running the White House pretty much. Okay, you think, well, this sounds crazy. It can't be this simple. Well, we're not going to. It's not simple. It's very complicated, but it's not complex, if that makes sense. And what happens is when these guys get in, everything's about a one-world dictatorship ruling the planet through Kabbalah. through the teachings. I'm working now on some books that I'm reading on these right now, and I'll go in and teach you guys more about this later. But just mind you, this is basically the worship of fallen angels is what this is. This is the worship of Lucifer. They've got some really twisted, strange gods involved in all of this stuff. It's just some weird stuff. It's some weird, weird stuff. And so what ends up happening is these guys get into government. They got into the Soviet Union government. And then the Soviet Union didn't allow them to put a World Bank, a Federal Reserve Bank, not when the Soviet Union, excuse me, it was Mother Russia. It was back in the 1800s. They tried to install a central bank into Russia. Russia said no and basically got mad at them and said, you guys, we don't want you guys here. They got unbelievably mad about this. And these Rothschild boys decided they were going to punish Russia. And they worked at bringing around the Russian Revolution. It took 20, 30 years to do this. It didn't happen overnight. Had the Peasants' Revolt. And it really wasn't the Peasants' Revolt. It was the people who were leading the party and the Satanists and the Luciferians and the atheists who were involved in all of this stuff. These guys brought this mess into Russia, caused the Tsar to be killed, the whole royal family to be killed. Then they brought the mess into Germany. When they brought the mess into Germany, you know, Hitler spotted it. Just to let you guys know what happened, and said, you know, wait a minute. You know, we don't want you guys here. This is not what we want. We don't want your central bank, because they had the central bank there. He got rid of it. We don't want to be ruled by you guys. And so, no. The answer is no, no, and no, and no, and go away and leave us alone. And, of course, they would not. And then in 1933, Samuel Untermeyer, because of Hitler's stance against the Kabbalists and all the stuff they were doing against Zionism, declared war on Germany. He was the same guy, for you new listeners, who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson into the Federal Reserve Act. Samuel Untermeyer was the same guy who pushed Brandeis in the Supreme Court, which basically brought us into World War I. And he was the same guy who pushed Cyrus Schofield through the Oxford Press to print the Schofield Reference Bible, which promoted Zionism. If I could go back in history, get rid of one person here, this is the guy to get rid of. But somebody else would have just taken his place. It is just another cutout. What happens is the Soviet Union and Russia then became tied together with China, and they implemented the same system, the Rothschild-controlled banks, in China. This is why China is doing this. And Austin was right. This is the model they're bringing to the United States. Media control, media censorship, social credit scores, all it's coming here. And once they implement 5G, I spoke to one of the top radio personalities in alternative news yesterday, and she told me that another one of the top people told her that once 5G gets implemented, he's bailing out, retiring, done, finished, gone, because he's not going to be involved at that point because it'll be too late. And now, I don't believe it's going to be too late. I believe that we've got to resist with every breath that we have in our bodies. Here's why. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It also tells us that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. And so we have to stay motivated for God. You say, well, why? Ted, what's the difference? What's the point? These guys are doing all this stuff. We can't seem to stop them. It doesn't make any difference whether you stop them or not. You got to try. What do you mean? Look, even a dead fish can float downstream. I mean, it's just the way it works. We can't allow them to do this. We have to resist it with every sense of being that we have. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, and I mentioned this yesterday, a lot of pastors are continuing to promote Trump no matter what. I used to be a Trumpy, whatever you call it. I'm not anymore. I told you guys for the first year, I'm still on the train, okay, he's got to get this gig, got to fix this. And after the second year, I looked at it, I said, wait a minute, dude, this is ridiculous. And finally, I said, okay, I'm at the station now, the train's about to leave. And finally, I said, I'm done, train's gone, I'm out. You know, when he starts using the Kabbalah to promote open, blatant, homosexual sodomy in marriage between men, I'm out. Okay, George Bush wasn't this bad as far as what he believed and what he said and what he did. This is insane. Well, he says this and he says that, all these things he's done. Okay, I got it. He's done some things. The first year and a half he was in office, he did quite a bit of stuff. I got to give him that. He was signing a lot of executive orders. They start tightening the screws down on the boy, tightening them, until now he's basically as controlled as Obama was, or Hillary would have been, or George W. or Clinton, or whatever. Bill Clinton said in one of his interviews, when after you become president, you realize that you're not the one who makes the decisions. People higher up make the decisions. You basically you just implement the policies. And see, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's what he said. And see, we have to understand it's due to censorship. Let me give you an example. In Germany, only about 15% of the people now in Germany feel as though they can actually express their opinions. That's how politically correct they've been made in Germany. Now, how has that happened? Why is it that in Germany people are scared to talk? Why is it when I have friends who come from Germany, they won't discuss anything about their history with me, even when they're in the United States, for fear of reprisal from the German government? Why is that? Well, it's because of this social credit score that you don't really call it that in Germany, but it's been put onto Germany. What do you mean? The Germans have been made to believe that, I mean, this generation, I mean, we're talking 70 years after World War II, have been made to believe that they're still responsible for the Holocaust and what happened in the concentration camps, because the media continually tells them this over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is why they have to always dust off a Nazi, break him out of the casket, stand him up in his Third Reich uniform. Better if they use a field marshal or a general, say, oh, this guy was so bad, look at him, look at him, look at him. And you're like, what the heck, man, he's been dead for 70 years. Who cares? You know, that's like three generations ago. I mean, these guys are all gone. If they're not, they're in their 90s. They're like really, really old, or they're in their hundreds. It doesn't make any difference. You got to kill a Nazi. But they do this because they brainwashed the population. Now, this is interesting. This is from RT. It says, a German blogger of the year invented her Jewish family history, and she cheated the media for years. German historian Marie Sophie Hingst, famous for a blog about her family members who perished in the Holocaust, has been caught in a lie. The revelation also put the media, which published her other personal stories, in a bind. Hinks, who lives in Dublin, rose to prominence because of her stories about her alleged Jewish ancestors who tragically died in the times of the Holocaust. They're keeping the media, keeping the archives, keeping the narrative going. These were published on her blog, Read On, My Dear, Read On, now offline, which she started back in 2013 online. The blog featured accounts of her grandfather in particular, who she said was killed in the Nazi death camp of Auschwitz. Her exploits did not go unnoticed, and at some point her blog reached a whopping 240,000 readers, where she was named Blogger of the Year and awarded by the Golden Bloggers Association, the group behind one of the major German social media influencers award. Okay, now listen. Hinks was also invited to moderate panel discussions for the Association of Patrons of the Berlin Holocaust Memorial. Got to keep it in their face. Got to keep it blaming everybody for the Holocaust. And frequently spoke on behalf of relatives of Holocaust victims, according to the German press. Okay? It goes on to say, however, her stories, which woke such an echo in her readers' hearts, turned out to be completely made up. She lied about everything. As a group of activists from the German town of Strausland demonstrated, Hinks indeed mentioned Strausland as the hometown of her family, and rightly so. The town archives, who were altered by another German historian about the inaccuracies in her blog post, found out that her grandfather had never been sent to Auschwitz and wasn't even Jewish. Guys, I'm not kidding you. He was a Protestant pastor. His wife was a dentist and also a follower of Protestantism. According to Der Spiegel Weekly, which was the first to break the story, actually none of her relatives were victims of the Holocaust, according to the German media. The situation looks even more bizarre in the fact that Hinks, who's not even a Jew, who's now in hot water after her bogus stories, did not just manage to persuade her sizable audience about the evidence of as many as 22 fictional Jewish relatives making stuff up, but even deceived Israel, Jerusalem-based Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem, and got them to put her relatives in their official remembrance list by sending them fake pages of testimony. Guys, this is what's going on right now all over the world. And I picked this out because it came up in the news yesterday with Russia Today. This is what's going on. We've got so much fake news out there and so many fake bloggers out there that are pushing the mainstream narrative. So you got to ask yourself a question. How did she get 250,000 readers on her blog? How did that happen? How many of these alternative news people suddenly have 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, a million followers on YouTube and Facebook? Guys, I'm not saying that they're not doing it on their own. I'm not saying that they're all scammers. I'm not saying that they're all government plants. But I'm telling you one thing, a bunch of them are scammers and a bunch of them are government plants. And they're doing things because they're trying to get clickbait, trying to make money on the internet, and they just make crap up. They just make stuff up. I could tell you numerous websites. Some of the most prestigious alternative people talk about these guys. They talk about these guys, and they promote them on their websites as factual stories. And they're not. They're not. Every time you try to verify one of the stories they come up with, not every time, 90% of the time, you can't find any other reference to the story. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's all going to happen. It's all going to be bad. It's all going to be this. It's all going to be that. You know, the EBT program's breaking down this week, and all of a sudden, we're going to have starving people by the end of this month. No, it's not. And they make up this crap all the time to create social unrest. One of them in particular threatened a federal court judge, ended up going to prison. And while he was on trial, he said, now, wait a minute, guys. You can't do this to me. I'm paraphrasing here. He goes, I'm an FBI government informant. I'm working for the FBI. He says this under oath. He says it under oath. So, guys, I'm going to say this to you. Listen to the narrative that's being spun. Find out what it's doing to you, and is that okay? What's the point of the narrative? What is the promotion here? What are they trying to promote? If it's to completely control and censor the real news, if it's to completely control and prevent the people who are out there from knowing the real truth, you need to see that pretty quick. Because, guys, think through this with me for a second. If what you're believing and what you're being taught is changing your paradigm in the wrong direction, you need to think through it. This is the problem with the pastors that I have that promoted Trump. Hey, look, guys, I promoted Donald Trump. You guys know that. I promoted him heavily. I mean, God, what choice did we have? We have the witch of Benghazi. We just got rid of the gay Kenyan and his tranny wife. My gosh, we don't want to look at that weird stuff again for another 8 years. I mean, we didn't want to look at Hillary Clinton. God, I want to puke when I listen to her talk. She makes me want to throw up. She nauseates me. I mean, anything but Trump. I mean, ABC, I mean, anything but Clinton. ABC, anything but Clinton. That's what Jerry Falwell used to say. ABC. So we had to vote for Trump. Now, he did the rhetoric. He did the giant rallies. He spoke at these giant stadiums. He was a patriot. He was a gun toter. He was going to be what he was. He said he's going to be what he's going to be. He's not. He's not. Because Donald Trump had freedom of will. We all have freedom of will. Donald Trump, I believe, and I still believe this, was put there for us to see and to believe in, and they knew they could control him. And I really believe that we changed the election because they hedged both sides of their bet. Remember what Otto Kahn said back in the 20s? This is what the international bankers do. They control both sides of the narrative so they can get the desired outcome. This is what they're doing with the credit scores in China. You're a bad person. You can't get a good job. You're a bad person. You can't get a decent ride on the subway. You're a bad person. You can't buy a house. You're a bad person. You're going to have to live in a dump. You're a bad person. We're going to take your organs and we're going to sell them on the global market and we're going to kill you. Oh, that sucks. I don't want to be a bad person. What do you want me to do? You got to do what we tell you to do. You can't mention Tiananmen Square. Also, one thing you didn't mention with Tiananmen Square, they rode over the protesters with tanks. They rolled over them. They crushed them. Like, they gutted them. They smashed them all over the doggone pavements. They had to come in with cleaning crews for weeks to clean up the bloodstains. I mean, they gunned them down by the thousands because they wanted them to know, you ain't going to do this here. We're under Rothschild control. Oh, that's right. It's always these same guys, isn't it? It's always the same people, the same group being controlled by these dark entities. It's always these same guys, whether they're Christians or Protestants or claim to be Protestants, claim to be Jews, claim to be Hindus, claim to be Muslims, claim to be atheists. Does that make a difference? It's the same spirit of the Antichrist, the same spirit of these Nephilim entities that has controlled this planet since the Garden of Eden in the very beginning with their father Lucifer. That's why Jesus called out these Pharisees, these teachers of the law. He said, you guys are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. He goes, you guys basically are awful. He's your father's Lucifer. He's the father of lies, and that's who he is. That's who runs the planet, guys. Don't take your eyes off that. All of this smoke and mirrors with Bubble Boy Rubio and Trump and what dress Melania has, which, by the way, she does have some pretty clothes. I'll give her that. What doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. But at least we get to look at her instead of Hillary Clinton. I mean, we'd all been puking for the whole next 8 years. Guys, it's so important to realize you got to keep your eyes on the goal. The goal is to remember that through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we commit our plans to the Lord and they will succeed. My footsteps are ordered by the Lord. This is what you have to do and how you have to look at it. Guys, listen to me for a second. Just a few minutes ago, we came on the air and Todd said, I'd ask you how you're doing, Tim, but I already know the answer. And I said, that's right, I'm doing great. And I said, Todd, let me explain something to you. I said, every day I get to do one thing for sure. I get to determine my own attitude. I get to determine my own way of looking at things. I said, I decided back in 1979 when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that I was going to be excited about my life today. I was going to be excited about my life tomorrow, every day for the rest of my life. Because, guys, think about it for a second. With Christ, all things are possible. God plus one is always a majority. It doesn't make one lick of difference what these clowns do to us on this planet. We're not from here. We're not of here. We're not of this planet. We're not of this earth. God was very, Jesus was very clear about that. We're kind of just passing through, like that movie Riddick. So are you a con or are you going to be an inmate? He goes, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. I'm just going through. And that's what we have here on this planet. We're just passing through. The 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years we live here is but a speck in the time of eternity. It doesn't mean anything. It's a speck. And so when we have a tiny speck of eternity, we get to hang out here, get to prove to God who we are and what we are and what we believe, and that we're willing to serve Him and obey His commandments. Just do your best to do that. And remember, guys, we're just passing through. These clowns are going to do what they're going to do, and that's what they're going to do. And we can stand against them to the best of our ability. Christ came to this planet and changed the world for thousands of years. But these guys, these fallen angels, this by 90 Nephilim blood, the sons of the fallen, they've come back again. They're doing the same thing they did in Genesis chapter 6. But we don't have to be part of that. We don't have to be part of that world system. We can step away. We can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we can realize that through Christ we're changed forever. Just thought I wanted to encourage you guys today. Because, guys, we got to have hope. We've got to have a message of hope. You know, that's what we try to do on this show. I try to entertain as much as I can. I try to give you a message of hope. I try to give you the news. I try to avoid the stupid stuff that I don't want to talk about, like Donald Trump's new haircut. Who cares? I mean, anything's improving over that mess is the way it looked. I mean, who cares? Guys, I just want you guys to know that I love you and I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you this morning because as far as I'm concerned, we're all hooked at the hip here on this show. You guys are family. And if you don't want to be part of my family, okay, I'll still pray for you. Doesn't matter if you're a listener. I don't care because I'm going to be the guy that I say I am on the show. I'm going to continue to do everything I possibly can to the best of my ability while I got breath in my lungs to bring honor and glory to God in everything that I do think and say. Austin, what do you think and what's your next story, bud?
Amen. That was well said. And also, too, I wanted to add one negative aspect. If Hillary Clinton would have gotten in office, as you mentioned, we would have had to look at her. But also, too, even worse, we would have had Bill the Corpse Clinton as the first man all the time. That would have been just absolutely debilitating to have to see on television. Not that I ever watch TV much anyways, but that would have been pretty much a giant joke. But the way we've seen these things, guys, and the way, you know, I had a Brad, one of our friends, his listeners, good friend, we've known him for years, he sends us stuff all the time, and there was a poster, not a poster, it was a sign for a Baptist church, and it said on it, gradually the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, then praised. And that's what we've kind of seen now, because I've been looking at some stuff, you know, the last couple of days, trying to figure out, you know, what kind of changed here with a lot of the stuff with the Donald and a lot of the stuff from the beginning. And not only do you know, I mean, we know Kushner's pretty much running the show over there. I mean, the guy has carte blanche immunity with no oversight to do whatever he wants. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, he goes to Dubai, Saudi Arabia over there with the United Emirates, one of those places over there, and has a meeting with like the big sheik that runs the whole thing, and didn't even invite the U.S. ambassador to that country who was in the city ready to go, and basically lets him know afterwards, oh, by the way, yeah, don't worry about what we're talking about. And the ambassador's like, I'm the main ambassador of this country. You're just going to show up and not even have a meeting with me? Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Kushner goes, you know, just go back on your way, peasant. No, you're just peasant. Go away. I didn't need you. I didn't ask you to be here. I didn't invite you. I have meetings with whoever I want in any country I want, whenever I want, and do whatever negotiations I want in the interest of the United States, and I'm not even elected. I'm not anything. I have zero credibility with anybody in this field. I simply got put here because of Trump. So just always be aware of what that shady character is doing behind the scenes. But going back to what I was saying, where things slowly degrade, you know, we saw, like you mentioned earlier, Dad, with Bush, you know, there was really not much push or tolerance with a lot of the transgender, really hardcore gay agenda, really at all. We never really saw any of that. And then, of course, we got the gay Kenyan and his tranny wife. And then that's when, I mean, realistically, all the gates of hell broke open with that. I mean, when he painted with lights painted the White House with the rainbow colors and tried to do everything he could to get transgenders in the military and give reassignment surgery. And he just went above and beyond what you ever could think of the United States sitting president doing. And then Trump has been, he supported a lot of it verbally, not a lot with laws, on and back and off. But again, the issue that we have seen is that whenever he makes a statement about anything, people listen to it. That's just a fact. We saw that with the red flag gun laws when he said, hey, take their guns and due process later. He's on videotape saying that. And then all of a sudden it was like, bam, Florida got red flag gun laws. Bam, Colorado. Bam, and multiple states, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like, golly, tells ATF, ban bump fire stocks. So he's done certain things, like Dad said at the beginning, that were really good, and it slowly kind of degraded. Well, now we see Biden, who is trying to get this election bid really in get it going. He has now announced, I saw this on Saturday, this is how far we're starting to degrade, that on Saturday in Ohio, his number one priority, not you know, getting the budget under control, throwing the Rothschilds out of the Federal Reserve, getting the military out of Afghanistan, even if he lies about that stuff, that's not, none of that's a priority. His number one priority, if elected, will be to enshrine the LGBTQPQRSTUZ rights into federal law via the new Equality Act, which is essentially an effort by the left-wing bullies to silence any Christian who believes biblical teachings on marriage and reject the view that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. That's his number one priority, he has now said, if he gets elected, will to make sure that they have all the rights, including anything done against them is essentially a hate speech, by the way. That's the next step of what they're doing. And the irony of this now is when you really go step back and look at it, just from the aspect of it, he's saying that if he's elected president, he's going to make a bill that's going to affect less than 3% of the national population and make that his top priority. Think about that for a second. That's how far down the rabbit hole they are trying to go. So he's going to put the needs of a lot of the pedophiles, transgender perverts, and weirdos that are trying to indoctrinate our children in the 3% population of the United States and put them above and beyond the 97% of the United States population. That shows you, and it goes right back to what I talked about with the gay revolutionary Michael Swift article that came out in 1987, where it talked about this is their agenda. They are going to do everything they can to demoralize the entire population, remove all ethics, all morals, all biblical beliefs, and remove them from the population as aggressively as possible. That's exactly what they've done now. I mean, this guy is a total weirdo. I mean, there's like 50 videos on YouTube of him coddling these like 8 and 9 year old girls and boys and rubbing their hair and groping them in front of people. This isn't even in private. He's like in the middle of a photo shoot. He's like grabbing on him and touching these like 8 and 9 year old girl's breasts. I mean, weirdo stuff. This guy's a full-blown pervert. And the fact that he hasn't been completely called out for that and dropped from any type of significant bid really surprised me. But and again, it doesn't. Because this is what they're trying to push now. And when he came out Saturday and said that it's number one goal to give these guys essentially this unalienable right that they can do anything they want and anything that's done to them is essentially a hate crime, shows you where they are trying to take this country in the next step. Also, too, in other news, Amazon, I told you guys yesterday about what they're trying to do with putting Alexas in hotels now and apartments, essentially to record everything you do and build an entire database on you. Well, now Amazon has released that they're working on a wrist-worn voice-activated device that will read your human emotion. I kid you not. A source revealed internal Amazon documents that show the Alexa voice software team at Amazon's Lab 126 hardware division are collaborating on this device to get it to market. In coordination with a smartphone app, it will have a microphone that will discern the wearer's emotional state from the sound of his or her voice. Bloomberg reported that eventually the technology could be able to advise the wearer how to interact more effectively with others. I'm going to repeat that again. The device they're saying is going to be a technology that will advise the wearer how to interact more effectively with others. So we've reached a point now in society where they actually think there's a market for people to wear a spy device on your wrist that listens to everything you do to give you advice on how to interact with other people. This is like the Twilight Zone if I've ever seen it, because I'm in this weird age bracket. I'm 31. I'm in this weird age bracket because I'm right on the cusp of being in the millennial generation, but I'm also, it was raised in Central Florida, raised by dad, raised a completely different way that most people have been raised, but I'm still at the cusp, right at the edge of that generation, to where I still know how to drive a six-speed manual very well, by the way, and a whole lot of other things that most of these millennials can't do, including think for myself and use deductive reasoning. And now what we're seeing is this younger generation is becoming so lazy and so reliant on technology that there's a market now to wear devices that spy on you to give you advice on how to interact with people by listening to your emotions and giving you basically advice on how to do that. You know, just when I think it gets weirder with Amazon, Dad, they do something like this. And always remember, Amazon's little beginning of selling books online, you know, that was just the beginning of what they had planned. Always remember, Amazon gets hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars in DOD and CIA contracts every single year. Always understand that. Amazon has an entire side of DOD applications that no civilian population has access to. And it may not even be military, like weapon-grade stuff. It's everything from chairs to desks to transport. Amazon procures and gets hundreds of millions of dollars from the DOD. And also, too, you already know, when I told you, they got that $600 million contract from the CIA to house their servers. Amazon is a branch of the United States government. If people don't want to believe it or not, that is fine. They may be, you know, an indirect branch, but they are the next branch of the retail outlet of the United States government. They will be fully controlled. Though they already are. They are fully controlled as a spy group with Alaska and all their systems. They are fully controlled with their marketing campaigns and monitoring everything you do. And they're going to be fully controlled with how they ship and deliver products. Always remember, Amazon is the first company in history that has been able to, on a widespread scale, contract the United States Postal Service to deliver on Sundays. Mail has always been off on Sundays. Always, always, always. Unless it was something really specific. But to actually have the post office open and mail routes open just to deliver Amazon products, that shows you what level of control they have in the United States government, Ed.
You know, Austin, all of these major corporations, you know, I mean, Jeff Bezos, you know, all of these guys, when these guys get these multi-billionaire status, these are cutouts. Somebody's funded this. Somebody's pushed the narrative. It's like I said earlier, when you have a person that has 100 million views suddenly on YouTube, somebody pushed them to that level. They pushed the search engines to that level. Jeff Bezos, if you listen to the guy talk, he's basically a moron. And so they find these morons, and they basically put them in positions. They own the industry. They tried to do that with Nikola Tesla, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't play the game. That's why they owned 51% of Nikola Tesla, and J.P. Morgan did. And when he built the Warren Cliff Tower up there in, you know, the Northeast, and they basically wanted to turn that on and get free energy, but they quickly shut the project down because they realized they couldn't monetize it. This is the same group. And then what happens when you have the ability to create money out of nothing? You can buy everything, and you can fund anything, because all they have to do is print an extra trillion, 2 trillion, whatever, on their balance sheets. Don't tell anybody about it. Distribute it to their basically member banks, and they can just buy up all the plants and operating equipment and basically businesses. And that's what they do. They gradually buy up everything, and they control everything. Or they'll come out and they'll start something like with Jeff Bezos or with, you know, with Microsoft, and they'll say, okay, look, find us somebody who's got an idea. We'll push the idea. We'll control it. We'll do the narrative. Because remember, gonna go esoteric for a second. When the spaceships crashed in 47, pick whatever you want, fallen angels, demons, whatever you want to call them, whatever was in there. When they retro-engineered the spacecraft, according to the book, the day after Roswell by Colonel Corso, he said that night vision goggles, he said that lasers, that printed circuits, and all this stuff came from those alien spacecraft. All of it. See, we have an alien presence on this planet. You can call them angels, you can call them demons, I don't care what you call them. You just got to call them to their here. You can't pretend like they're not around. Okay, the Bible even talks about them. So we have to understand where this technology came from. And what they do, they pick certain people to push the technology through. And Corso said that in his book. They go to industry after they retro-engineer stuff, or they're given this information through the Viril Maidens or whatever they're using, and they basically have the industry pick it up, you know, pick up the pieces of the stuff, and they start producing the product. And they basically gear it up that way. But they control it. Because remember, we gave our ability to control this country over to our elected officials. They have given it over to the military-industrial complex and the CIA. The CIA is being controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian weirdo, you know, benign deeds, you know, Nephilim, the sons of the fallen. That's who controls it, okay? They're now turning it over into a D-Wave computer to control, allow Lucifer to become omnipresent. And I've not heard anybody else ever say that besides the show. But that's what the purpose is. To have an interdimensional entity become omnipresent because of 5G and be able to control every thought and every heart and every mind of everywhere. So this is what the goal is. So you have to understand, you got to look at the hierarchy. We the people are on the bottom of this pyramid because we gave away our elected rights. We gave away our ability to produce currency. We put people like Abraham Lincoln in, let him do what he did. We put people in like Woodrow Wilson, let him do what he did. And after Woodrow Wilson, it was all done. Game was over because they controlled the currency, and they controlled the Congress, they controlled everything, they could control the bribing. They could do everything they wanted to. By the way, quick question. Did the government just test the internet kill switch? This is from Zero Hedge. And it says, he goes, at 3 p.m. Eastern time, it appears that the Google Cloud affecting Gmail, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook, among other members and others, mysteriously and almost unprecedentedly went offline. So now we talked about that the other day, but now they're asking, is it because the government kill switch was turned off for the internet? Next story, Wall Street Journal, the mall meltdown continues. Retailers' earnings this season have gone from worse and from bad to worse to horrible. The bleeding intensified last week with shares of Abercrombie & Fitch, which I could care less about them, call the gay posters they put up, plummeting 26% on Wednesday, the biggest percentage decline since the company went public. PVH Corporation, owner of brands including Van Housen, Tommy Hilfiger, and Calvin Klein, dropped 10% that day. I don't care about those guys either. For the same thing for their weird-looking guys who look like girls. On Thursday, women's wear chain Jill Chill was down, a jaw-dropping 53%. On Friday, Gap slid 9%. It's all going to online shopping, and that's why these brick-and-mortar retail people are in deep, deep trouble. By the way, the land grabs continue in South Africa. I posted these stories on our website. The Stellenbosch murder, Stefan Schmidt killed following land grabs dispute. More and more white farmers, just because they're white, are being killed in South Africa. But not to outdo South Africa, we've got to go back to Chicago, which last weekend had 52 people shot, 10 people killed in one weekend, because Chicago is that gun-free zone. Because when you take the guns away from people, everything gets really, really safe, and you get a much better society. No, you don't. When you take the guns away from people, the criminals don't turn their guns in, and everything goes to hell, because you're basically allowing criminals to run around with no way to protect yourself. Just thought I'd mention that. By the way, a lot of people are getting these beds that have smart apps, and they're telling you how you sleep. And by the way, now we're finding out that your wake-up call on data collecting smart beds and sleep apps, that they're giving away all of your personal information, and they're selling it to the public on how you sleep, what you do when you sleep, what your bed setting is. I mean, why do you want people to know how you sleep, when you sleep, and what time you're awake at night? Wouldn't that make it a lot easier if the all-knowing state were to say they got the deepest sleep period about 3 to 5 in the morning? If we're going to do a no-knock search raid, this is what we need to go in. Oops, did I just say that? I did say that, didn't I? Got to remember, guys, you give out all like personal information on people, it gets really, really weird on what they can do it. Another one I talked about a couple years ago, from young blood transfusions to apocalypse insurance, weird ways tech billionaires are trying to live forever. One of these guys, what they're doing, a bunch of them are, they're actually going in now and they're having transfusions from young children. Now, you have to ask yourself a question, where's this blood coming from? It seems like this is something out of a science fiction, you know, blockbuster. There are companies that are out conducting trials. They're not conducting trials. They're doing it to the effects of blood transfusions from young children. Transfusions, blood from young, healthy people, specifically those between ages of 16 to 25. Nope, going to correct this. My opinion, ages 2 to 25, probably 2 to 16, probably 2 to 12, into those who feel they are getting on in years could reverse aging, according to some experts. That's not to say it's restricted to the elderly. Anyone age 35 and up is available, viable to the service. PayPal mogul, another one of these guys who got pushed up to the top, Peter Thiel, has made headlines over the past few years, or has rumored his interest in this process, especially related to his startup company called Ambrosia. They're calling blood from young children ambrosia. God, on top of everything else, they're a bunch of sickos. Oh, the Fed, by the way, last year, only 11 employers were prosecuted in the United States for hiring illegal aliens this past year. 11. Let me repeat that. 11 employers were hired, were basically prosecuted. Probably the only reason they got prosecuted is they got somebody mad. And, by the way, New Zealand has lost its collective mind following the one terror attack on Muslims. Ridden with guilt over the attack on two mosques by one man, which killed 50 Muslims, New Zealand leftists have apparently convinced themselves they must now don Islamic attire and celebrate every Muslim holiday. What's next? Banning Christianity, making Islam the official religion of the country? This is where it goes, guys. You push it, you push it, you push it. You push the narrative, you push the narrative, you push the narrative, and you control groupthink. You control the population, and it controls both sides of the narrative. Wow, this is an informative show today. Went by quick. Hey, guys, I love you. You guys rock the world. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here for us. Thanks for just supporting us and just praying for us. I had the opportunity to pray for you again this morning. I mean that very sincerely when I say opportunity. It's a privilege. You guys are family. Love you so much. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless you guys. Austin, finish it up.
Absolutely, as always. And guys, be sure to vote for your product of the week, which one you want to see win. Looks like the CBD magnesium, or excuse me, the CBD hemp oil, organic hemp oil. I saw it. Looks like it's winning right now. So if you guys want that to win, make sure you get on the website and vote for it. And we let you guys vote. Whatever wins, wins. And it goes on sale. And the ultimate multiple capsules will be on sale till tomorrow morning for over 10% off. So be sure to check that out. Always a lot of different specials and kits that we have on the website. All the time. And again, like Dad said, thank you so much for the continued support. We do the best we can to help out as many people as we can, whether it be with health, diet, nutrition, overall lifestyle. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to email us on the contact form. You can go on the website and in the search bar at the top, type in the word contact, and the contact form will come up in the search listing. And you can fill it out with your information if you have any questions that are very pertinent and you can't figure them out on the website already. Or you can give us a call here at the office at 1-800-726-1834. I have staff on the phones all the time that will be more than happy to help you out and walk you through anything or answer any questions as far as supplements, anything like that. So be sure if you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. We really, truly do appreciate all the support. And be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on the front page of the website. You guys know we don't sell any of our information. We don't sell any of our customers' information. We keep all that very, very private and secure at 100%. So thank you guys for the continued support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay strong, stay frosty, stay alert, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.